Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
You're not wrong, and the NFL is still king. But the one thing that the NBA has done really well and significantly better than the NFL is the NBA has become, because of how popular like the transaction stuff is, and frankly because of Black Twitter, the NBA online and on social media has lapped the NFL, right? Has become a much better, bigger thing.
But you can't
social
monetize
media.
That though. Like,
yeah, no, that and no,
you
that
can't
is
make
fair.
Money
and,
off of it. Congratulations, and, guys! You get a bunch of retweets, but you aren't making money off of it.
That is fair, and I mean the NBA knows it, right? You mentioned the changing of the days, and the NBA knows it because, like, if you look at the biggest draws in the NBA and the best teams in the NBA. Or the most popular teams, not necessarily the best teams. Mm-hmm. You know, we like if you look at the Lakers schedule and why was the Lakers schedule so easy at the beginning and so hard at the end? Because the NBA wanted the Lakers and even more specifically LeBron, but the Lakers will mm-hmm. be the Lakers before LeBron, after LeBron, it doesn't matter. But LeBron and the Lakers is a very powerful combination and they do a couple big marquee games at the beginning of the year. And then say, you know what? We're going to wait till the NFL is done. So the most popular teams, you will notice that their schedules tend to be backloaded. The Warriors, the Lakers, because they want those national TV games after they don't have to fight the NFL for eyeballs.
Yeah, and I'm saying that, like,
that's true.
If you want, if you want to get to a point where you don't feel the need to always just bow down to the NFL, because that's not even fighting, dude. That's just laying down.
that's not beating your head against the wall. You know,
like that's just lying down and saying right here, Mr. Goodell. But like I think the NBA, like they need to, I think, switch some stuff up a bit. Hey, speaking of switching stuff up a bit,
yes,
I'm kind of wondering if the NBA is moving, or the NBA's teams are moving more to a two-star model compared to the previously dominant three-star model, where, you know, you had the big three in Boston, which I think underachieved in my opinion, but whatever. You had
I love it.
You had the cool. I mean, like, just look.
I don't want to root for Brooklyn, but.
Well,
the
Celtics had their big three, right? They had, and like Kendrick Perkins has a job with ESPN now. Kevin Garnett has like his various media platforms.
Right.
Paul Pierce, they tried to stuff him down our throats, and it just turns out he sucked at his job and made an unfortunate decision.
He ain't making an unfortunate decision. I loved that. And so did he.
I loved it because I didn't have to listen to Paul George.
I don't need this shit.
So, but anyway, so like they tried to like, they tried to force like the Celtics big three on us when the two-star model that the Lakers had was more successful in that very same era where the Lakers had Kobe, Powell, and then you had guys like Odom, guys like Artest, guys like Bynum, Ariza at one point, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder, you know, and then from there, so the big three happened there in Miami or yes. in Boston and then followed it up in Miami when LeBron went down there and got Dwayne Wade and got Chris Bosh. And obviously they had a bunch of success down there too. And then, you know, you had the thing with Golden State's just such
they're an outlier.
Historic outlier.
Yeah, they're an outlier because they had
big five.
They had they're an outlier. They had their big three that they drafted, and then because of a cap spike, they were able to get Katie. Like, just put them aside.
But
because
like they even were there, able though, to have.
What's that?
Would you consider? Because I would say that was still closer to the two superstar model, right? Where. Like, you have Steph and KD, who are just unquestioned super-duper stars that, like, casual fans would say, that right there is a super-duper star. And then you had, like, Klay Thompson, who is a star in his role. Draymond Green, the best ever in his role.
Hold on. No,
I'm saying...
No, they're both Hall of Famers. And
they're both Hall of Famers, but you would have them both on KD and Steph's level.
No.
That's what I mean.
KD and Steph are like probably top 10 all time guys. So no, they're not.
That's what I mean though. Is that like you had Steph and KD are like way the way hell up here. And then you had guys who granted all stars, MVPs, top 75. Klay should have been top 75.
Both of them should have been top 75.
Both of them should have been top 75. And then like, you know, like eventually you start to realize like, holy crap, these guys are they're technically a few tiers lower than Steph and KD, but they're also a few tiers higher than everybody else at their position.
Okay, so I think the star part, I think we need to frame this a little bit differently. And I don't think it's a two or three star model. I think it is like a max contract guy. Because that is what informs the rest of the team building. And the Warriors were able to have, because of Steph's injury, and so he signed a discounted rate, and because Klay and Draymond were on favorable contracts, and because of the cap spike, they were able to get KD. So basically the Warriors were the only team in history, yes, that were able to have four max contract level players.
Yeah.
At the same time,
because you had Bird all in their plus prime, KD, who was just
and have Andre Iguodala, who was still damn. Anyway, so we'll put they are like a historical outlier. It's why they're the best team ever. We'll put them aside. So I think the question is because once you get that third max level, whether they're a star or not, right? Like, is Russell Westbrook a star? Yeah, by name, yes, and a max level contract. But is he giving that kind of production? No, not anymore. So I think the question becomes, once you get that third max level contract in, whether they're a star or not, once you have that third max level contract, you basically, it forces you to turn your team over every year. Because if you have three max level guys, you're basically shopping at the bargain basement. It's basically going to be minimum guys filling out your roster, and those guys get turned over every year. So how good are they?
What's your burden on those top three? Like, those top three have to be superstars.
Right, and we saw it with the Lakers winning a championship, right? The two star model, okay, the two max contract, right? LeBron and AD, then you still have enough financial flexibility to fill out the rest of your roster with, hopefully you hit on some young guys, some you still have rookie contract guys that are outplay their rookie contracts. But you're able to have that like depth of, you can still have a KCP, you can still have those guys being 12 and 18 and 9 million. And, you know, you can still have AC and Kuz and KCP, and you can still have,
you can utilize your bird rights because you almost never have three max guys with bird rights attached.
Correct. So if you have, so I think it's the, if you are going to go the three-star model or the three max contract level guy, those guys better be healthy, right? You better get 75 games out of them, and they better play at a max contract production level on the court, because the rest of your team, you saw with LeBron and, you know, in his big three, the Heatles, right? Probably the first real like big three.
Yeah.
Like it was always like, hey man, is Mike Miller going to take a discount this year? Or what's his Shane Battier better like come through, right? Because you just don't have it. It's inherent in it, right? And this the same thing in Cleveland with LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie, right? Like every year you're going to have new guys cycling through, and it's hard to build continuity, and it's tough unless you are those Warriors teams that like were so overwhelming with talent, like it doesn't matter. And they were an outlier again because they had Sean Livingston and they had Iguodala, who was making $16 million, and those, so they were just like kind of an outlier. But though, if you're going with the three max guys, you better get like, they better be healthy and you better get production out of it, because everybody else is going to be a minimum dude.
Yeah. So I have a couple ideas here to, if the NBA wants to help, produce more of these three, because the three-star model does sell better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you're a league that is trying to build up its stars and create a villain, those three-star models, those three-star model teams are the most intriguing teams.
Yeah. You either love to love them or love to hate them.
Yeah. In most, like the vast majority of people. And by the way, Floyd Mayweather is going to be like a like damn near billionaire someday, simply because people hated that guy. Like that's it. They tuned in every single week to try to watch this guy lose, and it
made somebody him... knock those Paul brothers out, please. By the way,
they're on that same trajectory, man.
Like, you're right. That's why I'm saying it. Will somebody knock them out? Because I do. I watch to like, will somebody knock one of these dudes out, please?
Yeah, and they're going to be really smart because they're going to keep lining up fights that they aren't going to lose, but people are going to tune in hoping they're going to lose.
Yep.
But so I think. When it, so for the league, the reason I'm mentioning like the villain aspect of this and potential ways to maybe help those three-star teams be a little bit more, offer them a little bit more longevity. I want to know what you think of this. So I think once you sign a player to a vet min contract, you should immediately have at least partial bird rights on that player, if not outright bird rights. The entire market. That guy had the opportunity to go to the entire market, and everybody passed.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily everybody passed, but everybody passed to give him more than the minimum.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a bad idea. I think you're going to get pushback from
owners whose luxury taxes are going to go.
No, I think you're going to get pushback from owners in Indiana and Charlotte and Minnesota and et cetera, because those guys they make their choices for a few reasons. Chasing a championship is usually number one. A role is often, you know, you want to show yourself, depending on where you are in your career, you want to show yourself off for to hopefully not be a minimum guy after that. And the city, but those guys go to Golden State, Lakers, Clippers, Nets, Knicks, Miami. That's basically the list, right? They go to the coastal cities because that's where everybody wants to live, except you. That's where everybody wants to live, and those are the teams that generally.
Build a pool, right? Man, like it's worked out okay.
Those are the teams. So
I'll make my own coast.
And so I think the like. That I think would be like one more differentiating factor, like separating the haves from the have-nots. Do we really care about the have-nots? The NBA doesn't seem to, actually.
Here's my thing with the have-nots, and I touched on this with Harrison. If Michael Jordan is never going to pay the luxury tax, I'm sorry, man. You're not interested in winning to that extent. So no, I'm not going to go out of my way to make sure that you have a better chance at winning. If what you're interested in is just the money of owning a sports team and not the competitiveness of owning a sports team, then the competitive balance is inherently out of whack because you're not interested in it. Yeah, and that's not just Michael. Like that's at all the owners that approach it like that.
No, it's not. It's probably
Atlanta, Indiana.
It's probably 2/3 of the owners in the NBA. Right.
Yeah.
He's just one that very specifically will not, or at least has not to this point. been willing to pay the luxury tax. Yeah, no, you're right. Look, we talk about it all the time, not just basketball, but in sports. Like, the biggest competitive advantage you can have is ownership. And some are willing to spend and some are not. But there are levels to all of it, right? Like,
yeah,
the Nets and the Warriors spend more than anybody. But is that unlimited? Like, the Nets are like, all right, we're like Josiah, like we're a play-in team spending. Like, at some point, like, man, like, hold on. We're at the Warriors, right? Like,
I think
the Warriors were really good, but like,
yeah,
Andrew Wiggins, like, are you gonna do this again? We're gonna re-sign Andrew Wiggins to, like, there's limits for everybody, is what I'm saying.
The Nets, Josiah, you know, them being in the playing game might be kind of the least of his worries currently, based on that ESPN report.
Yeah.
All right. I do think, though, until something is done to allow minimum players to stick with their team a little longer than just the 1 year before they make good on it and go off and get paid somewhere else.
Right.
I do think the two-star model is more sustainable, and more executable, easier to execute, mm-hmm. than the three-star model. I just think with how talented, like, I think once upon a time the gap between a star and like a really 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 good role player was giant. Mm-hmm. Was way bigger than it is right now.
Yeah.
And I think right now role players have gotten so good at what they're being asked to do that I think it might be more valuable to have three excellent role players at $10 million each than it is to have a $30 million third star. Because the third stars, like, that guy's game's going to be limited inherently because they're the third star.
Unless you have, for whatever reason, guys that really fit. Like, Milwaukee, right? They have three max-ish level guys, mm-hmm. and they just fit really well. Obviously, like, again, we keep throwing this out there and then trying to throw it away, but, like, because it is such a historical outlier, but, you know, Steph and KD and Clay and Draymond, like, it's not going to fit better. Like,
right.
You can't fit better than that, basically. I think the point with the three max level guys versus if you're going three max level guys, you better be right. You better be right on the third guy and they better stay healthy. You better be right. That's still, if you can get that to work and if you can get it to fit, it is still going to win. Mm-hmm. It is going to beat two max level guys. Three max level guys are going to beat two max level guys if you're right.
I just think it's
you better be right on, you better be right on all three of them.
Yeah. I just think it's the margin for error is so much smaller now than it was previously. Woj just reporting that Luka Doncic is out for game one. And there are significant concerns remaining for his availability Monday in game two.
Rut-row.
I still think Dallas can split one of the two even with Luka out.
Utah is
fraudulent.
Yo, no, they are. Utah's the biggest fraud in the NBA. I agree with you. However,
yeah,
I don't think there is a playoff team. I'm like going through my head. I don't think there is a playoff team more dependent on one specific guy than Dallas is on Luka. Dallas without Luka is one of like. I don't know that they're like Detroit and Orlando, mm-hmm. but they're not much better. They are like now
with Dinwiddie than they would have been with Chris Stapps.
Yes, with Dinwiddie and Brunson, you know, trading for Dinwiddie, and then they have Brunson. Like, there is some creation there.
Yeah,
but Dallas is built on the LeBron Cavs, you know, like 2008-2009 model where we have one big dude, heliocentric, runs the offense, everything goes through him, and he is big and therefore can orchestrate everything and make all the passes that smaller guys can't make. And we're going to guard. We have some shooters around and we're going to guard. We're going to let one dude handle everything offensively and everybody else is going to guard and we've got some shooters. And when you take the sun out of the solar system, it's going to get dark.
So I agree with everything you're saying, but Utah's frauds.
Utah, and by the way, it would be the most Utah thing ever to get beat like 4-1 or 4-2 against Dallas in a series that Luka doesn't play in. That is like the perfect ending to this run of Utah. Utah is the single biggest fraud in the NBA. Philly is also a fraud, but Utah is the fraud.
I think
they're still going to be Dallas without Luka.
I think if Luka is just out for the series, then I agree. Dallas doesn't have a chance. But if all that Luka misses are the first two games, I still take Dallas in that series.
Rudy Gobert, I want to
find this because this is an actual thing that I always laugh at all the time. Okay. And it's one of all the right. like, all right.
You're going to tell me how many screen assists Rudy is going to have?
it's kind of why I root against Utah. But all right. So
there's a lot of reasons to root against Utah.
That too.
That is definitely one of them.
All right, so I use the trade machine Fanspo. Okay, fanspo.com/NBA/trade machine.
I want it to be trade machine from now on. I like it. Okay.
Machine. I go on okay. the trade machine. So the trade machine.
Mm-hmm.
The top we'll go top. So of the top 13 players that have been
most often that appear in people's being put
into trades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them are either Lakers, Pacers, or Hornets, right?
Okay, because those are all Lakers fans, right? Those are all Lakers fans trying
everybody to construct hates Russ this trade. Lakers team.
So, no, those are all people trying to construct Russ trades. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm saying that like this is all Lakers fans who hated this Lakers team.
These are all people that are constructing Russ trades. Yes, go ahead.
So it goes Russ, Gordon Hayward, Miles Turner, Taylor Horton Tucker, Buddy Hield, Malcolm Brogdon. I'm going to give you a mystery. I'm going to say number 7 is a mystery player. Mason Plumlee, Kelly Oubre, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, Terry Rozier, and Kendrick Nunn. Those are your top 13. Okay. To round out the top 15, it's Julius Randle and Tobias Harris. Randle also kind of sort of being linked to the Lakers, in a kind of a weird roundabout way.
Okay.
You want to know who number 7 is?
Yes.
I'll give you a hint. It's the face of COVID in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, yes. So here's the thing. That is also...
Since Aaron didn't answer, it's Rudy Gobert. It's
Rudy Gobert, yeah. But they all... Yeah, so that I was going to say, that is because it is widely thought... That if and when Utah implodes again.
Do you see where I'm going with this though? Like
I do.
Rudy Gobert is currently being thrown in every like he's being thrown because, in because more
the
often.
Thought is that Utah is gonna blow it up when this doesn't work again. And I don't think Donovan Mitchell's going anywhere. So the obvious answer plus he's also like he's one of those dudes that everybody, including guys in the league, love to hate.
Yeah.
So I think, however.
Well, no, let me finish my point. So you have Donovan Mitchell who's looking at New York. You have Quinn Snyder who's looking at the job opportunity potentially opening up in San Antonio. You have Quinn Snyder being linked to the Lakers too, which he's kind of shutting down, which, by the way, the coaching, I don't know if it's been updated most recently. Quinn Snyder at plus 1,000 to be the Lakers' next head coach, a lot of value there. I'm just going to go out and throw that one out there. But so you have... Hennessy is so good. Hennessy
is delicious. Really is, especially at now 11:16 on a Friday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After I do the lawn.
Right.
So... But like
the if you're reason the sound I'm of my voice, this, come get some carne asada and watch the games with me this afternoon or this evening. Go ahead.
So you have Rudy Gobert, who's probably is literally one of the players most often thrown into trades. You have Donovan Mitchell, who has been now widely reported interested in being a New York Knick. You have Quinn Snyder, who has heard for half of the year, if you're not going to be here next year, where might you be? He's had a shutdown all season. You have a litany of role players who are now probably looking at their next job also. Joe Ingles isn't even there anymore, and he was like kind of this cultural backbone of their defense and their identity too. And so I just think, like, if there is a team that exists in the playoffs currently that the Dallas Mavericks could beat one out of two times while Luka is out, it's this Utah Jazz team. This is the squad.
I weeks ago talked about how on Twitter said that Utah are frauds because they are, and Utah's not going to win anything, and everybody around the league thinks that Utah is going to get blown up once they show themselves who they are, once they show themselves as frauds and get eliminated again. However, without Luka, I just don't know how Dallas.
Let's make a wager on this. I want to
tell
bet
me
on this.
Like tell me how Dallas scores, like how is Dallas?
Jalen Brunson,
how is Dallas
and Spencer Dinwiddie go nuts, and their shooters catch fire, and they get enough stops to take care of business? And
I think Dallas is going to guard. Right.
All I'm saying is one, like Donovan Mitchell against Dallas this year has been bad. Like by his standards, he hasn't been good against them.
Yes. He's been pretty good in the playoffs. He's been pretty damn good in the playoffs.
Yeah, but like for whatever reason, something about the Dallas matchup this
because
year
because they guard for the first time in years. Dallas guards.
And so like I just think
I don't
like,
know how
defense,
Dallas scores. I don't know how Dallas scores. I don't know how Dallas gets to triple digits against Utah.
Who says they have Luka. To?
So you're going like blood in the garden.
98-95
basketball. You're just going okay.
98-85 87-84
All
game
right, I
game
got it.
One. Dallas takes care of business at home. Call it in.
Hey man. Dallas without Luka is going to be, how about this? Uh-huh. Here's what I will say definitively. Without Luka and against Utah, that series is going to be a rough watch. That is going to be the hardest.
It's already on NBA TV. They're trying to see if they can put it on True TV.
Right, it's going to be on Peacock. Unlike any other. Right? It's a tradition unlike any other. That's the masses, right? Is it
CNN Plus? CNN Plus like has under 1,000 subscribers or 10,000 subscribers. It's going to be on CNN Plus.
A tradition unlike any other. I tweet this out every once in a while, every March. A tradition like any other. Me having to remember what channel True TV is on DirecTV so I can watch March Madness. I think Dallas and Utah, if Luka doesn't play, that should be the NBA TV. And that's like the series. That's like the old like Indiana Milwaukee.
It's gonna air instead of the infomercials that they run from like 3 a.m. till 5. Like it's just
why is there a playoff game on NBA TV at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning? What is going Oh, it's because Luka ain't playing. It's Dallas, Utah. Enjoy.
The Utah Jazz, the Dallas Mavericks, brought to you by Flex Seal.
Right, it's 42-36 at half.
All right, well. Yeah,
Jalen Brunson is going nuts. Jalen Brunson leads the Mavs in scoring with 7 at the half.
Dwight Powell showing out. He has
play
5 points.
Play Boban at point guard. Then I'll watch.
Yeah.
Let him just take all those Luka minutes. Boban, you got it.
Yeah. All right. We were gonna talk about elimination game stories. We'll save that for next weekend as we get deeper into the playoffs. We are heading into a postseason, obviously, that is not gonna have the Lakers in it. But as Aaron kind of alluded to earlier in the show, that doesn't mean the fun has to, like, we can't have some fun here. And we are. The plan here is to have plenty of fun across the Silver Screen Rule podcast network. We have already adopted the teams that we are going to be covering / rooting for, whatever. Some of us are rooting
live
for
tweeting.
Them. Yeah, some of us are rooting for them. Some of us are just covering them. Some of us are just watching a little closely.
Raj is rooting for the Clippers. Have we checked Raj's, in on Raj? Have we checked in on him after this Paul George news? Should we do a wellness check? Do we need to send the sheriff?
Our pod Slack has been going off. I can't wait to check in on that. So anyway.
So you don't you he, you you.
I have the list. I have the list here in front of us.
Yeah, give me the list.
Okay. So here are the teams that we are all adopting. So I adopted the Denver Nuggets. Shouts to my boy Adam Mattis out there in Denver and the DNVR Minnesota. Crew.
Unacceptable! You didn't take Minnesota.
No, I get enough Minnesota sports in my life with just the Vikings.
Unacceptable.
Byron Buxton just slid funny into a base, and he's going to be out for a while because that's fucking Minnesota. That's how it goes.
I forgot the Twins still have a baseball team, even though they beat the A's in the play-in game, the wild card play-in a couple.
Did you see Blake Treinen last night? He is so, nope. He's so insane.
Nope, I sure didn't.
He struck out Joey Votto, and Joey Votto looked at the pitcher's mound and was like, what the hell was that? It was incredible.
Baseball's so stupid. Even though the A's now are, they were terrible in their first couple games and have won 3 or 4 now, and or 4 or 5 now, and are 4-3. It's great. I literally don't know any, but not that literally. I'm going to use literally correctly.
You will, but like you'll know these names.
I know three guys on the A's right now. They gave everybody else away, and one of the dudes I know is still sitting out because he's suspended for steroids from 80 games from last year. I hate everything.
Harrison.
So wait, okay. So you have the Nuggets,
Andre Drummond, and the Nets. That is Harrison's team.
Yeah, that tracks. Yeah.
Sabrina.
Too bad Sacramento didn't make it so you could get Damian Jones.
It's not his fault. Damian, it's not your fault. I'm predicting this. You ready for this? One of my off the board predictions for this summer?
I'm ready.
Damian Jones is going to be a Laker. I'm predicting it. I'm predicting it. You can't say anything about it because
I cannot. Is he
under contract? I guess it.
Yes.
When is that?
The league year does not end until June 30th. Mm. So he is still. He is still not him specifically. Let me be very vague. Not him specifically. Every player under contract, if they are going to be a free agent, that is not until July 1st.
Yeah.
The league year, the contracts run until June 30th.
Well, so he's
Damian
be
Jones
a
is a Sacramento King at least until
for
June
another
30th.
Month. All right.
Until June 30th. What calendar are you using? They have a different calendar in Texas?
I just...
Another month? What day is it? Today's tax day, right?
Is it? I filed mine a while ago.
Yeah, today's tax day. Yeah, you got all that money. Yeah, with the big palatial estate. Okay, so sorry.
All right, Sabrina.
We're sad the Kings didn't make it for you. Okay.
The Bucks are Sabrina's team.
Okay.
Classic front runner Sabrina Merchant. Mm-hmm. Aaron Larsoul, you.
That would be me. Yeah, that would be me.
You fought tooth and nail.
I did. It was tough.
To get your Golden State Warriors.
I mean, my hometown team, yes.
Your Golden State Warriors.
I didn't say my Golden State Warriors. That is the team of my youth. It is the team
the
of
Bay.
My youth. Wait, you know what? That means we need a little side bet. We're at odds here, yeah.
Well, I think you guys are gonna beat the team I'm rooting for, but you know.
The Warriors should beat Denver.
Jacob adopted the Miami Heat. Alex Padilla adopted the Memphis Grizzlies. Christian Rivas adopted the Philadelphia 76ers in the hopes that just a little extra support means that Doc Rivers wins a couple series and stays in Philadelphia. And then Alex Regla took the Toronto Raptors.
So that's who I, had I not taken the Warriors, that's who I would have wanted. Because they're just like, Toronto is kind of quirky and fun to me.
Oh,
last year, my team was the Atlanta Hawks.
But you're saying somebody from the Lakers is looking a little closely at Nick Nurse, huh? Oh, interesting. Raj is taking the...
his Clippers. You tried to put my Warriors. Those are his Clippers. There is photographic evidence of Raj's long-standing Clipper fandom.
I love on that picture of him in the San Andreas Clippers jersey that you can still see the gold sliver behind him because they just didn't do it.
The Photoshop is so bad. Who did that originally? And by the way, we can talk about this for another 15 minutes and nobody else, none of our listeners care about this. And you and I can just laugh about this for 15 minutes and I don't care.
I'm telling you guys this though, by the time that like we're actually really into the swing of the postseason, the hope is that like you guys will be here with us laughing alongside us. Cause like some of us are hate rooting for the team that we are watching. Some of us are, you know, watching as we scout something. Like I know Alex is really excited to watch a Nick Nurse team. Like, I know that's something he's really looking forward to.
No one took the Celtics.
No, that was not allowed. Nobody was allowed to take the Celtics.
Are you going to actually root for the Nuggets?
Yeah, I think I'll probably find myself rooting for him. We'll see if Steph goes full playoff mode and right, the Denver Nuggets get a chance.
It's going to be a quick stop it. Stop it. It's going to be I mean, the good thing for you is you're only going to have to pretend like you're a Nuggets fan for like 5 games.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe we'll just get like that classic Steph playoff shooting slump. Oh, but the spacing, but the spacing, but the spacing.
You're going to be sending me memes of, what was it? I think it's the Cavs series, the 3-1.
Yeah.
When the Cavs came back and the Warriors won 73 games. There's the like Steph behind the back pass that they took the ball out of it and made it to Larry O'Brien trophy and just him just throwing it out of bounds.
All right. That's the setup here for the rest of the postseason. And we will have our fun with that as well. Until all of that, until next week, this was The Hook. This was this week's episodes here on the Silver Screen and Roll Podcast Network. Thanks, y'all, a ton for tuning in, not just for this first week of the offseason, but the entirety of this abysmal Lakers season that we all got through together. Can't wait to see how the Lakers try to rebound and deliver you guys some news and rumors as we see what that might start to look like. Plenty of really exciting stuff to get to over the next couple months. Let's get to it. Until then, I'm Anthony Irwin. Yeah. That was Aaron Larsoul. This was The Hook.
Shut up, Devin!